Double tight ends in for Tennessee. Play action fake. Tannehill guns it.
Nice.
Intercepted
nice.
By Jesse Bates.
How about it?
First play of the game, yeah. And Jesse Bates, who intercepted Ryan Tannehill last year, picks him off on the very first play of this playoff game.
Well, one of my big desires, we were talking in the pregame.
There you go. That's how it all got started. Welcome into NFL playoffs today here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chase McCabe, Elijah Campbell here with you until 11 o'clock today. It's presented by Mercedes-Benz of Music City, Hard Rock Cafe, Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, and Toyo's Clinic, Smile LASIK, and Hair Restoration. Unfortunately, we are not talking about a Tennessee Titans win. We are talking about their season being over. As once again, as the one seed, it means absolutely nothing. And they fall 19-16 at Nissan Stadium to the Cincinnati Bengals. Bengals go on to the AFC Championship game, where they'll face the winner of the Buffalo Bills, Kansas City Chiefs, a game that we will preview a little later today. But the topic of conversation, Elijah, is what the hell went wrong with the Tennessee Titans in this season. And I'm going to start with this. I'm going to come out swinging. On Friday, I did a show with Jill Jelinek of Fox 17, and she asked me the question, what if they lose? Do you still view the season as a success? And the answer to that question is absolutely not. I do not. This is a failure. You can sit here and you can say, well, John Robinson, he's never had a losing season. You know, Mike Vrabel, who in all of this, I think, probably deserves the least amount of blame, if I'm being completely honest. But yeah, it was great. They won the division second year in a row. That's awesome. He's going to be coach of the year. But the fact that they don't perform in the postseason, that their biggest accomplishment is 2 years ago when they went to the AFC Championship game, that they can't get out of, you know, the first, whether it's the wild card round or the divisional round, they're the number one seed. They have home field advantage. The playoffs had to run through Nashville. And the fact that we're sitting here today talking about the season being over, it's a failure. So that's the best way I can put it. It's a failure.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's a total failure from all points around you, especially considering you lost to a team you're better than. I mean,
yes.
This was the matchup that favored the Titans out of all the teams that were still in the AFC. This is the one that favored the Titans. You had a really bad offensive line with Cincinnati, in which they took advantage of. They got 9 sacks. I mean, that the defense did their part. And you also played, you know, an offense, or not an offense, against a defense that wasn't overwhelmingly good. Like, you get to this point in the playoffs, you're playing like the number 5 defense in the NFL, the number 6, 7, sometimes 1 or 2. Like, if you're playing the Buffalo Bills, you're playing the number 1 or 2 defense in the NFL. You're playing more than just competent defenses. And the Bengals, you could consider a competent defense. And you still were only able to put up 16 points. It's a total failure because of the team that you played, that you were better than, top to bottom. And the fact that, like, yes, getting home field advantage is a significant accomplishment, but it's a significant accomplishment because the advantage it gives you in the playoffs to play the weaker teams at this specific round.
And you didn't use it.
Didn't use it. You had this is the best chance that this market has ever had to host an AFC Championship game, and just blew it. Last night's game was on many accounts. I know you don't give Mike Vrabel as much blame for yesterday. I'm giving him a ton, not the most. I'm giving him a ton.
Well, I'm talking about the season.
Oh, the season.
I'm not talking about just yesterday. I'm just talking about the season
That's
as
fair.
A whole.
That
he probably now, you know, you can make the argument, well, he hired Todd Downing, and he made Todd Downing the offensive coordinator. And I'll say this right out of the gate. Todd Downey should be fired. He better not be the offensive coordinator moving forward. But there's a lot of blame to go around. Let's just call it what it is. There is a lot of blame to go around with the Tennessee Titans. But I thought this was an interesting tweet from our cohort of Darren Donick and Chase. Darren McFarlane put this out last night. If I would have told you before the game that Derrick Henry would have 20 carries and the Titans D would have 9 sacks, what you would say what?
Oh, I say you win by 20.
Yeah.
You're winning by multiple touchdowns right there, you know? Or it's almost like what Chris Sanders said at the beginning of the week, that maybe they would have laid a goose egg, you know?
Right.
Like, that's what's wild to me. Like, that 9 sacks in a game like that and picking off Joe Burrow once is enough to make you think that, oh, well, the conditions are ripe for a goose egg. You would have put the Bengals on goose egg watch, but wasn't the case.
the thing that stands out to me, Elijah, from yesterday and why they lost the game is you said that the Tennessee Titans, you know, you lost to a team that you're better than. And I think that's true. But the problem is, at least for yesterday, and I honestly think this is the case moving forward, they have one position that was better than you, and that was the quarterback. Joe Burrow is a better quarterback. And Ryan Tannehill proved everyone right that has been saying he can't win the big game, he can't put the team on his shoulders. And I don't want to hear this crap of, well, you know, not all the interceptions were his fault. I mean, it hit the receiver in the hands. Okay. Well, that last interception that he threw, you're right. It hit him in the hands. But how many Bengals were around him? I mean, he's throwing into a crowd there. And all you need to be doing is running the clock and getting in field goal range. So you don't have to make those tight throws that are dangerous like that. Just protect the football. That's all you have to do at that point. And then you march downfield, you put Bullock in, you know, in range, and you go and you kick the field goal and you win the game and you move on to next week. But you're trying to make these, and some of it was the play calls that Downing was making. And so you put everybody in that position, you turn the ball over, you lose a game. But Burrow, you know, I know he, and listen, that the Hooker interception, we'll probably be talking about that. I kind of looked at the buddy I was with at the bar and said, I don't think they have enough, because he had control, but I know the ball hit the ground. But so you can talk about that. But Burrow took care of the football. Mm-hmm. Tannehill didn't.
Despite getting sacked 9 times.
Yes.
Like, I mean, there's Joe Burrow also is just insanely special. I mean, the Bengals had to suck into that pick and be really bad to get a transitional franchise quarterback. Like, those are really hard to get. There's not many quarterbacks in the NFL that are bad offensive line proof. You know, like, I'm like one of those people to this day that still thinks Derek Carr could have had a really good career if he didn't get sacked 60 times, you know, in his rookie season and the offensive line didn't completely ruin him for the rest of his career. Joe Burrow is offensive line proof. I mean, yeah, he, you know, tore an ACL last year because he got hit so many times, but like, I sacked 9 times yesterday, throws for 300 yards. Like,
and no touchdowns.
Don't do that. And
he
no touchdowns.
Touchdown.
Didn't even throw a touchdown, you know, which is wild to me how you can still throw the ball up and down the field. But that's a testament to how good the Titans' red zone defense was. I mean, they did not give up touchdowns. They would bend a little bit, but they didn't break. And it's really frustrating to see them lose that type of game, even after, you know, Amani Hooker makes that play. We talked about the interception. That was a freakishly athletic play for him to be able to snag that. And it really seemed like you had it turned around once you had that interception, once you had that touchdown to tie things up. You're in the fourth quarter. Honestly, your offense was moving the ball better than theirs was for the entire game. They outgained them. You know, it's just that there were about 5 plays in this game that turned it around. I mean, it is eerily similar to a lot of other Titans home playoff losses in which you were the better team. If you look at, you know, yards gained, controlling the football, but there's the one thing, and really it's the turnovers and the turnover on downs. I know the turnover on downs doesn't count on the stat sheet as a turnover, but the Titans, it essentially had 4 turnovers yesterday. The turnover on downs hurt every bit as much as those interceptions would. And like that, you can't have that and win games. And this is the perfect example of that. You got to be able to convert your good drives into points. And the Bengals were good enough at that. And then they had a weapon at kicker who was able to at least convert every single trip past the 45 of the Titans. They were able to come away with points.
Yeah, and here's the thing. You talk about turnovers on downs. Going for it on fourth down at that point, I don't have an issue with. I mean, you kind of have to at that point. What I have an issue with is the play calling leading up to that. That's
really bad.
That's the problem. Because if you really think about it and you dissect that entire the sequence leading up to that, you're probably not in that position if Downing's making better play calls. So, I mean, usually, and, you know, we'll talk about Derrick Henry. I don't think he was bad. He wasn't Derrick Henry, but I don't think anybody really expected him to be. He had some moments where you could see, you know, he was getting warmed up and that explosiveness was starting to come back, but I never really felt at any point that he was going to break a big one.
The explosiveness wasn't there.
Yeah, I just.
Which is why I have a problem with him getting the ball 20 times. If you can tell that in the first half, and Deontay Foreman ran like he did. Like, Deontay Foreman, at 66 yards on four carries, if you take away that 45-yarder he had, he's still running 7 yards a pop.
Yeah, and that was the next place I was going to go with that, is why didn't you use Foreman more? Because Foreman was clearly, you know, showing you that he's in that mid-season form, and that he, you know, he's the one that should be getting a bulk of the carries. So, because Henry just, you know, he wasn't there yet. I didn't think he was bad. He just didn't have that explosiveness that you expect out of him.
Yeah.
And I didn't expect it going into this.
Yeah, he just didn't have that extra gear. And, like, that's one thing, you know, we talked about leading up to the game, right? It's like, okay, well, you know, if Derrick Henry comes out and he has a slow start, since he is historically a slow starter in some of these games, like he's a second half, fourth quarter running back, do you still continue to feed him the ball? I mean, I always thought when we asked that question that it's really hard to answer that without looking at him in game action. I feel like if you looked at him in game action yesterday, there were a couple plays where you felt like the old Derrick Henry is at least able to bounce off a tackle and be able to get 5 or 6 extra yards, maybe not hit the home run, but is able to bounce off like extra tackles and help move the chains a little bit. But like it didn't seem 100% there. Even on the touchdown, it was a very slow developing touchdown. Like,
yeah,
it just didn't look like him. And Foreman, every time he touched the ball, like the offensive line was getting good push. He was explosive. He's 100% healthy, or as close to 100% healthy as these guys can get in mid-January. You know, and like, I'm with you though. Like, that was my biggest thing yesterday, was when I saw that Foreman only had 4 carries. I was insanely disappointed. I think that obviously that falls on coaching, falls on Downing, falls on Vrabel. Like, I get you want to trust your best player. Derrick Henry is your best player. He's a top 5-6 player in the NFL. Completely get it. But you got to be able to understand your personnel at that point in time. And if somebody is running better, maybe give him more than 4 carries.
I totally agree. I totally agree. So that real quick, that sequence that I was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So the last 3 plays of that series, Tannehill pass short left to Julio, which, hey, Julio, you know, I'll give Willie credit. I don't know if you want to call them key catches, but he at least showed up. He was
he moved the chains.
He moved the chains. But like that, you know, like you need more. If you're going to try to go to Julio Jones, you know, I want to see more on that play. And then I knew that the next play, I looked at my buddy and I said, and he said it at the same time, read option. Like, they're going to go read option here. I sniffed that out, and so did the Bengals. What are you doing? Like, that's where you give it to Henry or Foreman or whoever. That's where you just run it up the middle and run it up the gut to try and get that first down and get no yards. And then, of course, they got to go for it on fourth down and then do what I would have expected them to do on third down. And it goes nowhere. So that's the play calling that I'm talking about that is just so frustrating when it comes to Todd Downing.
Insanely predictable stuff. I think even the first play of the game, too. Didn't we call that, like, on Darren Nonick and Chase on Friday?
Yeah, oh, yeah. That, I mean, oh, I was fine with that, too. It just, you know, but throw it to the right guy.
The Bengals knew it, too. I mean, Jesse Bates, I mean, he broke as soon as he knew that ball wasn't going to Henry. And, I mean, he read Tannehill like a book, and that defense read that entire play perfectly. I mean, it was almost too predictable, and I think that's the trap that Todd Downing fell into. Was there was way too much overthinking of the entire game yesterday, when it could be a lot more simple. Kyle Shanahan in the Packers-Niners game didn't have to overthink scheme, because the game plan is get the ball in Debo Samuel's hands, get the ball in Elijah Mitchell's hands, your most able-bodied players that are going to give you the best chance to move the chains, just give it to them in their hands, and don't try to get too cute with it. The Titans tried to be too cute with it on several occasions yesterday. I think that's what bit them in the rear.
615-737-1025. We will take your calls. We will take your texts on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We are here until 11 o'clock. We are here to help you vent about the Tennessee Titans and their season ending, because, unfortunately, that is what took place yesterday. Ryan Tannehill, what does it go? Where do we go from here? Elijah and I will discuss that when we return here on NFL Playoffs Today, presented by Mercedes-Benz of Music City, Hard Rock Cafe, Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, and Toyo's Clinic, Smile LASIK, and Hair Rest.
Oh, it's brutal. I mean, no one in the locker room thought we'd be where we're at right now. A lot of confidence going into this game, a lot of confidence even throughout the game. Things were going our way, but we were battling and finding ways to make plays and wanted to put ourselves in position to win it in the fourth. And we had an opportunity to. We just didn't make those plays.
That's right. No sleep. That's for sure. Ryan Tannehill on the loss yesterday. Welcome back in NFL playoffs today. Chase McCabe, Elijah Campbell, Jared Cassidy on the ones and twos. It's all presented by Mercedes-Benz of Music City, Hard Rock Cafe, Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, and Toyo's Clinic, Smile LASIK, and Hair Restoration. Elijah, I logged into the text line this morning. Oh my goodness.
Oh, boy.
Even though we're not on the air, people were still texting. I can't read half of them on the air.
I'm sure FCC proofing the text line from last night is an absolute chore.
Oh, it is something. It is something. But you are welcome to weigh in. You can call. You can text 615-737-1025. Blake says, I can accept getting beat. I can't accept beating yourself. Most of their losses this year were beating themselves. So frustrating. So Titans. And so true.
Yeah.
Because I think he's right. And this all stems yesterday to me, the three interceptions. I mean, I think we all knew going into this game that if they took care of the football and they didn't turn it over, they were probably going to win.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when you have 9 sacks as a defense. Well, the defense was pretty darn good overall, not just getting to the quarterback. But, you know, I know that they gave up 16 points and they did give up some big plays. But overall, I thought they did a pretty good job. And then you have Henry that, you know, wasn't Henry, but still he was there. And then Foreman, they should have won the game. But you turn the ball over 3 times, if you're the quarterback, you're not going to win the game. So the question is, where do you go from here with Ryan Tannehill? And before you give me your thoughts, this is what I'm going to say. I put yesterday on him, totally. Mm-hmm. And he has had a bad year. He has not been the same. We have been talking about it. Whoever wants to claim that they brought it up first, fine. But it has been discussed at nauseam on this radio station, on multiple shows, that he has not been the same, that he has played poorly. Okay? So that is a part of this entire conversation. But let me also say this, Titans fans. When they made the move, when he took over in that game against Denver and they went on that magical run, and he became the guy, and you moved on from Mariota because you're not the one seed with Mariota. You're not winning back-to-back divisions with Marcus Mariota. Just remember that. You're not doing it. So what choice did you really have? Everybody that's, you know, saying, oh, he sucks, they should have never signed him to a long-term deal. You know, tell me what the alternative was. And now the people that are saying that you got to move on from him, you got to get rid of him, I'm not saying I necessarily disagree that, you know, they've gone as far as they can with him, but you can't just like walk outside and pick a quarterback mm-hmm. up off the tree and then put him in there. I mean, it just doesn't work that way. And I know we're going to go somewhere later. I know what we're going to talk about, but it's a lot easier said than done with the way the contract is set up and the fact that, you know, you can't snap your fingers and all of a sudden have a franchise quarterback. So that's where we're at. I mean, it's a tough place to be if you're a Titans fan, but you've kind of gone as far as you can go with him, but you're also kind of stuck with him.
Yeah. I mean, like that's my first thing, you know, like when we've had that Philip Forsberg discussion on Darren Donick and Chase, Darren goes, okay, well, what's the terms? Contract, length, amount. For me, it's, okay, and you get rid of 17? Okay, cool. Yesterday was on him. Totally get it. Now what? You going to draft Malik Willis in the first round? You might have to trade up to do it. You see how rookie quarterbacks did this year? It wasn't pretty. Even mm-hmm. the one that was on a really good team, the Patriots, it wasn't pretty. He was not lighting the world on fire. How did the Bengals get Joe Burrow? They were really bad and had to get the number one pick. The Chiefs had to trade up to get somebody. And, of course, Patrick Mahomes is not in this draft class, I can promise you. You want to sign Ryan Fitzpatrick in the offseason? I mean, it's not like the quarterback free agency class is great. You want to sign Jameis Winston?
Well, it depends on what happens.
Exactly. I mean, which, after last night, we don't know. And it wasn't
Rodgers is gone.
Well, he's gone, but is he going to play football like next year? That's still a question, too.
He said, I don't want to, if I'm going to play, I don't want to be a part of a rebuild. So that means he is going to want to walk into a team that he believes he can go win a Super Bowl with right away. Now, obviously, they have some moves to make here. Let's just put money aside for a second. They have some questions on defense of bringing some guys back. Obviously, the Julio Jones contract is a lot, but you can move on. It's just you're gonna have to
It'll
eat some
you.
To move on. You're gonna have to pay AJ Brown, here very very soon. Henry is back, but what is Henry? What is Henry moving mm-hmm. forward? So there are some questions there. Need to tweak the offensive line. Are Saffold and Luan going to be back? So that's a big question.
Mm-hmm.
But I think overall, Rodgers walking in here, he could win as long as, he's happy with the moves that they're making. That's pipe dream. I don't see that happening. It's a pipe dream. But Russell Wilson is another one that could potentially be available. People are saying go for that. That's great, but how much are you willing to set the franchise back to go for it for mm-hmm. pretty much 1 year?
Yeah, because it's going to take that because the way the salary cap is, you're not in position to have the same defense you did this year and then be able to bring in a Russell Wilson. You're going to have to cut some ties somewhere, maybe even on that offensive line. I know Taylor Lewan's caught a lot of flack. He's had some rough games, but that offensive line was moving dudes in the club the last month and a half.
Yeah.
And did a fantastic job. The running game maintained because of that offensive line. And that offensive line will not be the same if you get a quarterback that's going to cost you more money. But
615-737-1025 is our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Elijah, do we have a call?
We do. Steve from Nashville. Steve, what you got for us?
Hey, what's up, fellas, man? Very disappointing. It's a lot that went wrong yesterday, but the one thing that I don't understand as a coach and offensive coordinator, when you got a guy, and I'm talking about Foreman, and I was happy that the King came back, but Foreman had the hot hand, and I don't understand why they took him out and forced Cincinnati to stop it. He was killing them at clips. And when we're talking about ball control and, controlling the clock, they just, took him out of the game. I just don't get it, man. We did a lot of bonehead things yesterday. Across the board. And I appreciate y'all letting me vent.
Absolutely. Thanks, Steve. Talked about that, Elijah. I don't get it either. Especially if you want to save Foreman until the second half and he's like your secret weapon, then mm-hmm. fine.
Sure.
But, if you look at Henry, and there were times I looked at Henry and I said, oh, he's gassed. You can just tell. He's tired. He's not warmed up. He's... You can say he's been practicing for 2 weeks. Great.
It's not football shape.
Yeah, he's just not there yet. So I don't get that either. But with all of this, with Tannehill, what I believe, and I saw Jared tweet this out this morning, and I think he's going to be right, they're probably going to move on from Todd Downing. And they should. They totally should. And they're going to use that as the excuse. And then we're going to spend the entire offseason talking about whoever the new OC is, can that fix Tannehill? Was Todd Downing the problem? They're going to make him basically take all the blame, which he deserves a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to try and take some of the blame off of Tannehill. Because I would look, if they went after Aaron Rodgers, great. Okay. How are you going to pay for it? What are you going to give up? What is it going to do moving forward? But let's just... For giggles, let's just say they do. Let's say that they somehow pull that off. You're going to have to give up a ton of draft capital to get a team to take Tannehill and the contract off of you, which is easier said than done.
Mm-hmm.
I think a team would probably do it, but again, it's going to cost you a lot moving forward. But does it make you better? Sure, it makes you better, but does it win you a Super Bowl?
It's hard
he just
tell.
Lost to the 49ers, and he had an awful game last night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he had a horrific game last night. And within the last 3 years, Aaron Rodgers has won as many playoff games as Ryan Tannehill. and one more than Kirk Cousins. I mean, Aaron Rodgers took them out of the game with some of the missed throws he had last night. Not say he's still the MVP. Not saying that Ryan Tannehill and Aaron Rodgers are on the same plane. Please do not take this as me saying that. I'm just saying, like, if you have to surrender pieces of that defense, which was phenomenal yesterday and all year long, because Harold Landry's not going to cost the same. You're going to have to make some cuts on the linebacking core. It's going to look different on that side of the ball. It's going to look different on the offensive line. And that's where the strength of your team was this year, when, especially when Henry was out. Like, the games you were winning because the defense was good. The offensive line helped you maneuver and run the ball without Derrick Henry, helped you maintain it to the point where you could still be a number one seed. Like, that's my big thing, is like, I wouldn't want to have to give up that point. I think if I'm a Titans fan, you give me the option to run yesterday back, double or nothing, play that game again, I'm doing it in a heartbeat, because I think the Titans win that game 8 times out of 10.
I agree. 615-737-1025. You can call, you can text. We are venting today on the Tennessee Titans as their season ends. And Elijah, I'm going to ask you this question. Harold Landry, you brought him up. Do you pay him? We'll discuss that when we come back. NFL playoffs today, presented by Mercedes-Benz of Music City, Hard Rock Cafe, Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, and Toyo's Clinic, Smile, LASIK, and Hair Restoration on ESPN 102.5 The Game and The Game Nashville app.
Last year, you talked about all the sacks we didn't have, and you guys somehow think that sacks lead to victories. They're great. We'll talk about how many we had this year, but I like turnovers and interceptions and caused fumbles. So maybe we'll talk. Maybe we had too many sacks this year.
Mike Vrabel after the loss yesterday. I don't know if that's really possible, Mike. I think sacks, pass rush, that's a good thing. Welcome back into NFL playoffs today. You hear the frustration, though. I like it. Presented by Mercedes-Benz of Music City, Hard Rock Cafe, Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, and Toyo's Clinic, Smile, LASIK, and Hair Restoration. Chase McCabe, Elijah Campbell, Jared Cassidy hanging out with you. 615-737-1025. That is the phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. You can call, you can text, you can vent. That is exactly what we are doing today. A texter says, the Bengals' loss goes on Tannehill. The first and third picks were completely on him. The second pick was a great play by Mike Hilton. Management needs to have a talk with Tannehill about his salary. Nearly $30 million per year is not worth the product that was delivered on the field this year. And apparently his Altima sent that, so that's pretty cool that that the car can do that. But listen, I get that. But if you're Ryan Tannehill, I'll play devil's advocate for a second, Elijah. If I'm Ryan Tannehill, and J-Rob comes to me and says, hey, man, you know, we need you to take a pay cut, you know, for us to keep you, I'm going to look at him and go, okay, sorry.
Yeah.
Not going to do that. I just reworked my contract so you could go sign a receiver that basically did nothing for you this year. So, I'm good.
Yeah.
I'll keep my paycheck the way it is.
Rightfully so. I mean, you're the one, John Robinson, that gave Ryan Tannehill that contract, and you don't do that without something like this in mind, without something like regression in mind. He's already taken one right now just so you could sign Julio Jones, and that didn't turn out well. What incentive does he have to take less? I mean, NFL stands for not for long. Ryan Tannehill's career can be over in 2 years. His money-making window is right now, and I don't blame a guy for taking everything that he can get, especially if he's already been asked to take one. That's a really good point.
So the question is going to be, now there's going to be one that keeps being revisited, is when they signed him, you know, should they have made a bigger push for Brady and gone and gotten Brady? And would you have a Super Bowl if you had Brady? And I just think that's just a wasted argument at this point. I mean, I don't think Brady was ever coming here.
Mm-mm.
You know, Vrabel aside, J-Rob aside, I don't think it was ever going to happen. I think, you know, warm weather was a factor. And Tampa was a better team. All Tampa needed was a quarterback. You walk in, you got the defense, you got the receivers. They add Antonio Brown. I know what happened there, but still, you add him.
They drafted offensive line.
Big issue. Gronk comes with him. And, you know, so I it was never going to happen. When they signed Tannehill, it was the right move at the time. They didn't have a choice. There were no other alternatives. And so And making the move from him to, or from Mariota to him, was the right move. So, you can go back and second guess, and and all of that, it was the right move. Now, I think you've come as far as you can with him, and you're stuck. And that's the hard part. Let's go back to the phone, 615-737-1025. Terrell is on line three. Terrell, welcome in.
Hey, let me tell you something. Tannehill is – I'm going with Jared. I agree. I think the offensive coordinator kind of got this wrong because once that got down there, that second interception in the scoring zone, we should have ran the ball like it got down there, ran the ball. And I guarantee you, we would at least got it exactly how we got the first touchdown. Secondly, I think we need a wide receiver three or a tight end one. I'm telling you, we need something like Amendola, some slot guy to get us in case the other two are getting covered. It's the same thing that happened before. Even with Davis was on one side and Brown on the other side, they covered. We did not have an option for number three. We need a third down guy, somebody who can continue and move the chains. Now, I didn't know about Lawan. I thought the offensive line problem was going to be Ben Jones and Saffo. And I'm like, here go the question. Is Dylan Raiders ready? Do you move Aaron Brewer to the center? Or do you move Aaron Brewer to the guard and find you another center? And then the linebacker core, how do you get that around and determine who leaves? Does Evans and Jaylon Brown go and you go into the draft? There are other things. I'm telling you, I think Tannehill can be. Now, the thing is, the reason I said OC, look what that happened for when we got that far. He didn't throw that much. It was the right calls and the right plays called, and that got done. We didn't ask much from him. We just, this OC asked too much from him. Mm-hmm. Let me know what y'all think.
Very, very good. Well, very, very good call. Appreciate the call. Terrell, yeah, a lot of stuff there. Mm-hmm. So let me ask you this. He mentioned a slot receiver or a tight end one. If you had to this offseason, I'm giving you the choice of going to get, you know, the Julian Edelman of this team and as a slot receiver or a starting caliber tight end, which one are you doing?
I'm going starting caliber tight end. I think a reliable tight end can be a matchup problem. And a really good, reliable tight end isn't something you have to waste a first round pick on. CJ Uzomah for the Bengals, very reliable. Had a really good game yesterday. Moved the chains for the Bengals. Is a fantastic third down option for them. Fifth round draft pick. Take him in the fifth round. I mean, there's plenty of tight ends that, you know, that could be good third down options. I'm not asking them to be Travis Kelce or George Kittle. Or even like Dallas Goedert. Like, I mean, we're just asking for a good, reliable.
Go find your next Jonnu Smith.
Yes, exactly. In a red zone target, too. How nice would it have been to at least have Jonnu Smith as an option in the red zone all year? Because like, that's like the biggest, to me, this Titans offense biggest regression was obviously Ryan Tannehill. But what made Ryan Tannehill a good quarterback in those prime years was how good he was in the red zone. And Jonnu Smith was his favorite red zone target. And I think we underestimated, especially me, I definitely underestimated at the beginning of the year, the loss of a good red zone target like that. Because if you're not converting those trips to touchdowns, you're going to lose a lot of the games like you did yesterday in which you move the ball at will sometimes, but you can't convert. Having a CJ Uzomah would help. Just somebody like that. And, sure. you don't need to use high draft capital to do it.
615-737-1025. Let's go to Ricky. Ricky, welcome into NFL playoffs today.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Doing fantastic.
You're better than me. Chase, first point, Bengals money line paid well. Second point, why do we have to continually have a coach that has to reinvent the wheel? Fourth down.
Oh, no. Did we lose him? There he is.
Pin him deep on the fourth down where we went for it and Henry gets stopped. You either kick a long field goal, take the lead, pin him deep. Your defense just had like four sacks in the last two possessions. Go for the safety. He has to reinvent the wheel. Going on fourth down drove me absolutely crazy. Passing in the red zone when you got the ball down there, absolutely crazy. And my last point, and I want to preference this, I'm not a Taylor Lewan fan. Something about him just grinds me. But when Tannehill threw the interception in the red zone. This was on the radio call of the game. Unfortunately, I was in the car listening to it on the radio. Lawan pointed at the sideline, threw his arms up in the air like, what the heck did you just do? And pointed at his head coach and was screaming at him, according to the radio call. There's no place for that from a guy who can't stay on the field. This guy, yes, he finished the season well. He had an awful start to the season. He's never healthy. And to show up his head coach and his quarterbacks like that, gone. See you later, Taylor. Don't let the door hit you in the bus.
Appreciate the call, Ricky. Thanks for calling in. What did you think about that? Do you have a problem with that and how he handled that?
I mean, I need to go back and watch that again. I didn't really notice that.
I saw him yelling, but I didn't see like the extent of it.
Yeah.
So
that
wouldn't
bother me as much. I mean, coaches do that to players. It's a collaborative environment. You know, coaches and players are collaborating. If Taylor Lewan didn't agree with something he saw on the field, like a matchup thing, like, oh hey, Mike Hilton's blitzing right here, they're reading the screen.
Yeah.
I mean, sure. It's fair to complain about that play call, even as a player too, because of the obvious result. If it came on the other side too, I mean, if they saw something that probably should have been audibled out beforehand, he could also put that up with Ryan Tannehill, because Ryan Tannehill's the quarterback. He's the one that's seeing this. Somebody didn't see something. Somebody should have seen something. So I get his frustration. It doesn't bother me as much. I mean, if I'm a player, I mean, you got to have that kind of spark. You got to be able to hold each other accountable. You know, I don't know if it's necessarily showing, because I don't know what he said. That's another thing too.
Right.
He could be yelling, but he also, it couldn't have been, he could have said something that isn't as, I guess, physically as demonstrative as the way he made it, you know? So I hard for me to have a solid opinion on it without knowing what he said, but I understand the emotion.
Yeah, so do I. And I want, as we continue this conversation, I mean, Lewan is going to be somebody that we're talking about. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know that he's back. Now, I understand left tackles don't grow on trees either. They have missed the last two drafts, at least right now, on a tackle. Mm-hmm. And Isaiah Wilson, obviously, and we know what happened there. And now Dylan Raidens, who is, I mean, he was scratched yesterday. He wasn't even in the lineup. So they've missed there. This is where the John Robinson factor comes in of, you know, he's, for somebody that was really good at drafting, you know, early in his tenure here, he has missed big the last few years. I mean, you didn't have, what was it? You didn't have your first, second, or third round picks playing in the playoff game?
It's brutal. I mean,
that can't happen.
That's the worst part about it, is that he has hit on so many, but the whiffs are equally as bad, you know, as the fines are good.
Right. 615-737-1025. We will continue to vent together and take your calls, take your texts here on NFL Playoffs Today, presented by Mercedes-Benz of Music City, Hard Rock Cafe, Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, and Toyo's Clinic, Smile LASIK and Hair Restoration on ESPN 1025 The Game and The Game Nashville app.
It was a frustrating day. All the way around, you know. Great opportunity and didn't make the plays we needed to go win. Defense played a heck of a game. Really dominated, and it's fun to watch them play. But you know, we didn't make enough plays to win it. You know, this hurts bad. Didn't think we'd be having this conversation right now. You know, not my vision for the game at all. But we had an opportunity there at the end, and there's no doubt in my mind we're going to go down and get points.
Ryan Tannehill, Titans quarterback, after the loss yesterday, 3 interceptions for him. Welcome back in NFL Playoffs Today here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, presented by Mercedes-Benz of Music City, Hard Rock Cafe, Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, and Toyo's Clinic, Smile LASIK and Hair Restoration. Chase McCabe, Elijah Campbell with you, 615-737-1025. And with Ryan Tannehill, you know, as we were talking about earlier, I do think they're going to make a change at offensive coordinator. I think they should make a change at offensive coordinator and move on from Todd Downing after 1 year. He doesn't deserve all the blame by any means. Tannehill certainly has his share, but I do think they are going to try and protect their quarterback as much as they can. They're going to bring in another OC, and then we're going to see if truly it just was the OC was the problem, or if what I believe and a lot of people believe, that it's just a mix of Tannehill's taking you as far as you can go and is what he is at this point.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of that's going to be dependent on the type of offensive coordinator you come in here to do this job. I mean, what made Arthur Smith so good is he understands Ryan Tannehill is a great play-action quarterback. That's his strength, and they played a lot to that strength. I don't think Todd Downing did that as well yesterday. I thought he did a decent job at times this year doing that. And that's risky, too, because a bad offensive coordinator, a worse offensive coordinator can come in here and completely blow this thing up, and it could be even worse. The offense regressed, yes, but I think offensive coordinator is risky. I think what you got to do, too, is be able to convert red zone opportunities, and that starts with not turning the ball over and being able to just not stall out late. And then a lot of that is play calling, too. So I don't know. Like, I'm still kind of on the fence about Todd Downing's future because it's only 1 year, and I thought for the most part he was all right. And I still take myself back to this. I mean, if you tell me you can replay this game yesterday, if the Titans lose, they don't play next year. Just completely, Premier League-esque relegation, I run it back just because I think you beat them again, especially, knowing what you know now. But, man, that's a tough position. I know we have some callers that like to weigh into.
Yeah, good caller participation today. Let's go to Mark on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Mark, welcome in.
Hey, guys. Listen, I appreciate you guys taking calls on this morning. Listen, this next week is John Robinson's football future. If he doesn't act, he won't survive the year. That's my personal opinion. He may not agree. But, I mean, Tannehill should have been released this morning. All right? Downing should have been fired this morning or this week. Tannehill will never recover from this, never. That's the most devastating loss he's ever been a part of. And you could see in his eyes yesterday, he will never recover from this. It reminds me of when I was a child in Alabama when Dr. Bill Davis missed the extra point in the 73 Sugar Bowl. It cost Alabama the national championship with Notre Dame, 24-23. He never recovered from that the rest of his life. And that's what's going to happen to Tannehill. And I could tell you, if I were at Titans management, I'd be going after Nick Saban because of his ability to evaluate talent. And John Robinson should get clipped. Tannehill should get clipped. And so should Downing this week. Thank you.
All right. Mark. Yeah. Mark's ready to fire everybody.
Emptying the clip. Thank you for your call, Mark.
Listen, I get it. And I've seen Jared use this example on Twitter that, McVay moved on from Goff, and they made a bad mistake signing Goff to the contract that they did, and traded Goff to Detroit to get Stafford. But what all did they have to give up to do that?
A good bit.
Right. I mean, that can it be done? Sure it can.
Right.
But you have to understand that if you're going to do that, if you're going to go down that road and you're going to try and keep this window open on top of all the other things that you have to do as a football team, there are consequences that are going to come with that.
Mm-hmm.
The Rams could very well be in the Super Bowl this year. They could very well win the Super Bowl this year. Do that, every move they made is worth it.
Yep.
It erases it all. But if they don't, then they're going to be having a lot of these same conversations of, well, you went for it and it didn't work. You're an idiot. Fire you. That's what I'm going to do. I mean, I was all for Julio Jones. All for it.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't work. It turned out to be the wrong play. Now, did he have a decent game yesterday? Sure he did. Mm-hmm. They lost. So he had one touchdown on the year. But that's what you have to do when you are in that position as a general manager. You do have to take risks. What I can't forgive is missing on draft picks.
Mm-hmm.
Is, completely, completely missing on a first-round pick in Isaiah Wilson and not seeing things that apparently were there. Guy's not even in the league now. It's the biggest whiff in franchise history, maybe in NFL history.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty bad.
To draft a guy in the first round that had major, major injury concerns, and you do it anyway, And then guess what? He's injured and doesn't have any impact at all for you. I can't forgive that. Mm-hmm. A second round pick that can't even sniff the field. You had, let's see, who else am I missing? Another third rounder in Darrington Evans the year before that can't stay healthy, that has done absolutely nothing for you. A fourth round pick that you traded up to get, mm-hmm. didn't even make your team out of training camp, gets called up from the practice squad and is in a healthy scratch for the playoff game. I mean, these are the kind of things that I can't forgive. Mm-hmm. That, you make big trades or you make big signings, like, okay, you're gambling. But the draft picks, you got to get right. Yeah. You just have to.
Yeah, that's the worst part, too, because that's where your cheap contracts are going to be. And when you're a team in this window, the guys that are going to be key contributors are guys that you have to take advantage of their rookie pay scale, like Harold Landry. Harold Landry, you're like his cap hit this year, I believe it was almost under $2 million, according to Spotrac or SpotRac. And his market value this next year is going to be $17
million. Yeah. You're going to pay him?
You're not. I don't think they'll be able to. You know, that's the thing. You're almost going to have to let him walk because you're not going to be able to pay him because of the monster year he had. And that's what makes this window like so tough. Like what made yesterday so devastating was that you have some contracts that are going to carry over next year that are going to be pretty hefty, like a Ryan Tannehill, but you also have some that are insanely valuable, like Harold Landry's contract. It's one of the more valuable contracts in the sport, and teams that run into the salary cap hell are the ones that have those players that are, you know, outperforming rookie pay scales, and then you just can't bring them back the next year. The New Orleans Saints had that with Trey Hendrickson. Trey Hendrickson is one of the best pass rushers in football. Weren't able to bring him back because he outperformed his pay scale, and no matter how badly as you wanted to bring him back, you just can't get everybody at once, so you're sacrificing a part of your window because you just can't pay everybody. And you're going to pay Michael Thomas, you're going to pay Trey Hendrickson. So if you're the Titans, you pay you pay A.J. Brown, you pay Derrick Henry, you know, all these guys, or do you pay Harold Landry? Those are really tough decisions to make. And I think, you know, Mark, the last caller, said that the who or who he doesn't cut is going to define John Robinson's season here in the next coming days. I don't think that's the case. I think what's going to define him as a GM is how he manages this tricky salary cap situation, because this is where it gets really hard. You had a loss in which you had a manageable salary cap position. Now it's going to get tough. It gets sticky. This is where he's going to really have to show what he's made of here as a GM.
Real quick, let's get to Jeremiah on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jeremiah, welcome in.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call, guys. Listen, man, y'all know a whole lot more about football than I do. I've been watching, listening to football for 63 years of my life, and 16 of it without vision since I took that bullet to the head in military. But nevertheless, for over a week, I've been listening to different radio stations and ESPNs talking about what all the Titans were going to do to the Bengals and how the Bengals weren't going to be able to live up to this, that, and another. And to me, it's almost like the Titans went out there with their chest pumped up, overestimating their abilities and underestimating the Bengals' abilities. And, man, I don't know. It was like too much arrogance went out there with them, and they got spanked. You know, like the schoolyard bully got sent home with a black eye, man. And just the way the ball bounces sometimes, man.
Jeremiah, appreciate the call. He's right. I mean, that's the way it goes sometimes. But, you know, there's he uses that phrase arrogance. I mean, you got to have a little bit of that. You know, I think Joe Burrow, what makes him, you know, so good is he has that, he has confidence, but he has that cockiness too. Like, he has just enough cockiness that I think is a good thing. And mm-hmm. I think that's going to take him places for sure. We'll continue to take your calls, read your text, 615-737-1025. NFL playoffs today, presented by Mercedes-Benz Music City, Hard Rock Cafe, Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, and Toyo's Clinic, Smile, LASIK, and Hair Restoration on ESPN 102.5 The Game. NFL playoffs today presented by Mercedes-Benz of Music City, Hard Rock Cafe, Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, and Toyos Clinic, Smile LASIK and Hair Restoration, Chase McCabe, Elijah Campbell, Jared Cassidy with you here on this Sunday. We're taking your calls, your texts, your vents on the Tennessee Titans as they fall 19-16 in the divisional round, 0-3 as the number one seed in their history. They haven't won a playoff game at Nissan Stadium since 2002. And once again, we're in the offseason a lot earlier than it should be, and the Bengals are advancing to the AFC championship game. We're talking about Harold Landry. You know, do you pay him? Chances are you're probably not going to be able to because of some of the contracts that you're stuck with. And even if you do make some cuts, I mean, you're going to have to eat a lot of dead cap. I know the cap is going back up, but it's not going up to the level that you need it to be able to keep all of these guys. You know, Rashawn Evans was mentioned earlier. He's gone. They're not bringing him back. He was a healthy scratch yesterday, so he's gone. Jayon Brown, most likely gone. I mean, I would say that Cunningham, Long, those are going to be your middle linebackers moving forward. I mean, I would like to see them keep Zach Cunningham, even though I think they need to redo his deal and not pay him. You know, what's he getting right now? I mean, it's somewhere 15, 16 million, somewhere in there.
Yeah, the Texans paid a lot of that this year, and they didn't basically have any hit on the Titans to take him, but that's not how it's going to be moving forward. I mean, that was a move you made to help you win this year.
Right. So a lot of questions for sure, and we're going to have a long offseason to answer those questions. Before we go back to the phone, something we haven't brought up yet that I've seen people talking about on the text line. And let's see, let me pull this. Texter says, I have a problem with Vrabel going for two after the touchdown. He should have just kicked the extra point to take the lead and break the tie. I was talking to a friend about this, and I agree. I don't know why he went for two. I know they got the penalty and it moved him closer, and so therefore they lined up to go for two. I wouldn't have done it. I would have just taken the point and moved on. Could that it there was a point where it looked like that might really be coming back to bite them. Ultimately, it wouldn't have mattered if they kicked the field goal at the end of the game. But what did you think about that decision?
Yeah. Well, my thing is I'm always one of those guys that loves to go for the extra point because of the way the NFL moved the extra point back. I mean, or going for two because the NFL moved the extra point back. And that's kind of why the NFL did it, right? Was to incentivize more going for two to make the extra point a little more interesting. It's not a gimme like it used to be. And if you have a healthy Derrick Henry, I really don't mind that. But the play got snuffed. I mean, out of nowhere. But my biggest problem with it is if you weren't going to go for two before the penalty, why does 6 inches closer to the goal line make you more inclined to go for it then?
Right.
Like, no, that's my biggest thing. It's like, if you weren't going to do it earlier, then why do you feel so frisky that this half a distance to the goal penalty, which in essence is like a 6 inch, you know, improvement, that's where you lose me there, because it's essentially the same play. Like, that's kind of what irks me a little bit. If you're just going to go for the extra point to begin with, why don't you just stick to your guns and just go ahead and still attempt the extra point?
Life is a game of inches, Elijah. That's just basically what it is.
It's been our common theme.
It is. But, you know, the other point of this is, as I was talking with my friend, is if they kick the point and they're up 17-16, are they forcing throws on that final drive? No, they're just running out the clock. So that is certainly a factor in it too, but it is what it is at this point. I mean, they shouldn't have been throwing the ball like they were even tied at 16. I would have been leaning on the run game to make some safer throws, screens, stuff like that, to try and get in field goal range for Bullock to win it. Let's go back to the phone, 615-737-1025, our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Corey in Springfield wants to weigh in. Good morning, Corey.
Hey, how you doing, fellas?
Good.
I had 3 points I wanted to bring up, the first of which is the interceptions, the timing of which, momentum killers. First opening play of the game for our offense, opening play of the second half, and then when we should have been putting the nail in the coffin. That cannot happen. Cannot happen. Not at our level. Not as good as we are. Second, I want to talk about quarterback discipline. Now, we wrecked Burrow yesterday. We sacked that guy, I mean, almost a dozen. I mean, I think we were three away from a dozen. But he didn't throw three interceptions. He hung on to the ball, you know, and Tannehill's tossing the ball. If he doesn't have anything, you got to hang on to the ball. If you got to take the sack, you take the sack. A sack is much better than a turnover. The math works out. And the last point I want to make is, you know, when we were having a tough time moving the ball, I would approach that Deontay Foreman and King Henry both. We could have moved the ball. They would have been forced to overload the box, and we would have had a lot more opportunities for a medium-range pass game. And it was already working in the first place. That's all I got, fellas.
Yeah.
Okay, appreciate the call, Corey. It's good stuff. I mean, it's all valid. You know, I mean, momentum killers, that's a turnover. And that's something that the Titans couldn't do. As well as the defense was playing and getting to Burrow, I thought, okay, surely they're going to force a fumble, get a pick. And finally, you know, Amani Hooker gets that interception in the second half. But they weren't turning the ball over, and the Titans did.
Yeah. And, like, to me, I thought the game was pretty much over when the Mike Hilton pick happened because of the way you were able to finally move the ball again, get it back in the red zone. And, like, not converting red zone opportunities is massive, especially in a game like this. And the fact of the matter is, like, the Bengals converted by way of field goal, and you didn't convert a lot because of turnovers. Like, and you don't even get a shot to get those points. And that adds up, you know, to the caller's point, is the timing of the interceptions was every bit, like, obviously there's not a good time for an interception. But, you know, some interceptions are essentially arm punts, in which it's like a third down. Like the Jameis Winston interception, that's the Jameis Winston special, is the arm punt, where it's third and 15, and it's like, all right, you know, bleep it. Mike Evans might be down there somewhere, 50 yards down the field. And
He might be.
And then the ball is intercepted, but it's essentially the same thing as a punt. But the way it went down yesterday, that first interception happened in your own territory. That's not like a punt. If you're punting in that position, you're going end over end, you're controlling field position. The Bengals didn't have to move the ball very far to get that first field goal. Those were three very important points. You cost yourself at least three very important points on the interception in your red zone. And that really was, I think the most important point Corey made was that right there, because it wasn't like the Titans just couldn't move the ball. It wasn't like they had 150 yards of total offense and were completely stymied by this stiff Bengals defense. No, it's that they couldn't convert the opportunities they did have. They outgained the Bengals in this game. They were able to run at a better pace when they did run the ball. They were able to really maneuver the play action when they weren't turning it over, and they outgained the Bengals in this game. And I think that's my biggest takeaway from what Corey said, or the biggest point that I agreed on him with.
Yeah, I agree with that. 615-737-1025. When we up next, I am going to give you a math lesson, Elijah. I'm going to give the listeners a math lesson.
Yes.
Because I think that you all need it this morning. I understand we're all upset, but we're going to have a little math lesson up next. As you listen to NFL playoffs today, it is all presented by Mercedes-Benz of Music City, Hard Rock Cafe, Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, and Toyos Clinic, Smile LASIK, and Hair Restoration on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Never all, you know, I mean, obviously the guy pulling the trigger, you know, is going to get blamed, you know what I mean? That's just what happens, but, you know, we all have to do a better job of taking care of the football. Ryan, nobody feels worse than Ryan does, and there was some contact, and we, you know, I mean, on the last one, it's like, where would you want them to put the ball any differently, in a better spot? They let them play, and that's how it goes.
I don't know, Mike. Maybe don't throw it. That's probably what I would do. But anyway, welcome back into NFL playoffs today, presented by Mercedes-Benz of Music City, Hard Rock Cafe, Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, and Toyos Clinic, Smile LASIK, and Hair Restoration. Chase McCabe, Elijah Campbell here with you, taking your calls and your texts as we vent, as we react. And I don't know, Elijah, I feel like I'm just getting more fired up the further we go here.
Picking up steam.
Talking about things and listening to the callers. But I said I was going to give you a math lesson, because we're getting a lot of texts and tweets of people saying, like, one here: if Tannehill is not released and Downing fired, the Titans will lose 25% of the local support they were fighting to hold on to. Getting a lot of things like that on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. A lot of people saying cut Ryan Tannehill. Well, let me give you a little math lesson here. His cap hit for next year, the cap hit, because they move stuff around to make room for Julio, his cap hit is $38.6 million. Okay? If you release him, the dead cap would be $57.4 million. Ooh. Now, I'm not great at math, Elijah, but it kind of feels like if you were to release him, you're gonna be it's going to cost you more than keeping him.
A lot more. So, that is an expensive cutting.
Yes. So that's the thing. Now, there is a potential out after next season. And that it drops down, the dead cap drops to 18.8 after that. So, and then there's these, you know, the 2 years afterwards, 2024, 2025. It's going to be easier to get out from under it next year than it would be right now. Now, you could potentially find a suitor. Let's just play the pipe dream for a second. You know, Aaron Rodgers is, you know, the way his contract is, he could potentially just be a free agent, you know, next year. But you got to get rid of him or got to get rid of Tannehill if you go and go after Rodgers.
Right.
So do you find a team that, you know, is desperate for a quarterback, which Green Bay would be at that point probably. And you basically say, I'll give you a couple of first rounds or three first rounds or whatever it's going to take for you to take Tannehill's contract. I mean, you could probably do that.
Yeah. No,
but that's going to set you back in the future.
Oh, for sure. Because
with no guarantees that you're going to win anything with Rodgers.
Yeah. I mean, you would be going full LA Rams in terms of just giving away all your draft capital. I don't know when the Rams have a first round pick again. It might be in the next decade, but it doesn't help set you up for everything you still have that's good right now. I mean, this Titans defense, I wouldn't want to make too many changes to it. You're going to have to naturally. I mean, Jayon Brown and Rashawn Evans probably aren't going to be back next year. I mean, that's
no.
That like Rashawn Evans, definitely not. We'll see about Jayon Brown. That's still $5 million that he was paid this year. We'll see what happens going into next year, especially considering how well David Long played, and then you still have the Cunningham option. Like, there's a lot going on with the salary cap here, and like it's not just as simple as, oh, Ryan Tannehill didn't play well, let's move on, let's cut him. Like, we don't have that luxury in the NFL. You can't just do that in a salary cap league. It's not that simple, and one day we'll realize it's not that simple. And I mean, get used to Ryan Tannehill being your quarterback next year, because he is going to be the quarterback next year. It would take some drastic measures like what you just said in terms of completely overhauling all of your draft capital to get Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson to be able to make that happen. Because the free agency pool and quarterback this year, so not only would you be paying a ton to get rid of Ryan Tannehill, you would have to overpay for someone like Andy Dalton, Ryan Fitzpatrick, or Jameis Winston. None of those are fantastic options. Like that's your free agency class. It's not great.
Another texter. We haven't talked about this yet either, because this is also true. Anyone notice that Anthony Firkser was wide open in the last Tannehill interception?
Yup.
He was wide open, just like Khalif Raymond was last year.
And Dontrell Hilliard was a good safety valve along the sideline. You can throw it to Hilliard there. Hilliard probably would have been tackled a yard or two later, but he could have at least gotten out of bounds, and you live to see another play. That, like, out of all the options on that play, Ryan Tannehill might have made the worst one.
Yeah, that was Aaron in Clarksville. Raymond says, this is good. Since when have we used a first-round pick well in the John Robinson era?
That's very true. But, I mean, I guess if we're talking math and the law of averages, one of them has to hit. One of them. Eventually.
At some point.
Yeah, at some point.
Jeffrey Simmons has been pretty good.
Jeffrey Simmons, yeah, has been very good.
That's worked out.
That was one where a guy had a bad injury the year before, fell to you. And he had 3 sacks yesterday.
By the way, you have to pay him eventually, too.
Oh, that's
just saying.
We think the Harold Landry contract is going to be too much to keep up with. My God, what Simmons is going to demand in an open market is going to be terrifying. We'll keep John Robinson up at night.
615-737-1025. Let's go to Steve in Nashville. Steve, welcome in.
Hey, fellas. How are you doing?
Doing fantastic.
Good.
Great, thanks. Thanks for the allow me to share the opinion. I just feel, and this could have already been shared earlier, I just felt like you know, going back to that original, you know, two-point conversion that we attempted and we missed by really literally inches, kind of hurt, you know, bit us at the end. There, we were tied up 16-16. You know, we would have been 17-16 just holding the ball and running with Henry. So I was just going to hear your thoughts on that. Again, this could have been shared earlier. I was just jumping on.
Yeah, and I think we probably – thanks for the call, Steve. We probably should have spent mm-hmm. more time on this.
Yeah.
Because, like, I'm having a text conversation with a really good friend of mine that believes that cost them the game. And I can't let go of three interceptions.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
three turnovers, you know, that loses games. However, I'm not dismissing the fact that it did change the game.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like we were saying, if you kick the point and you're up 17-16, you're not forcing throws on the final drive. You're just trying to run the clock out.
Exactly. It changes the way you play the rest of the game, too. I mean, it maybe changes the way you conduct yourselves or call plays on that eventual fourth down conversion you got snuffed on later on. It would eventually change that. I mean, a field goal there in that position, if you trust Randy Bullock to make it, he only made one field goal outside of 51 yards all year long. And it would have been, I guess, a couple yard. It would have been 52, 53, 54 yards for an attempt on that fourth down that they got snuffed on in the second half. It maybe changes the way you do that. Maybe you risk that field goal because the field goal makes it a four-point game. It forces the Bengals to do something they only did once the entire game, and that score a touchdown. The Bengals were not – they didn't put up 35. They didn't put up 40. The Titans defense did a damn good job of keeping them out of the end zone. Maybe you're more inclined to kick the field goal there to make it a touchdown game instead of a field goal game. Maybe that changes the way you do that. And that's, to me, the biggest impact of that decision in the first quarter or in the first half was the impact of it may have changed the way you made decisions later in the game.
Yeah, I think so. 615-737-1025. Darnell in Clarksville wants to weigh in. Darnell, welcome in.
Great Sunday morning show, guys.
Appreciate it.
You know, Robinson should be sued for malpractice. You know, it's just terrible. Look at the other teams, like Kansas City. They have three rookie offensive linemen. And you look in the playoffs at that Dillon guy. He's a third-round pick. He got a touchdown. You look at the San Francisco, that rookie running back, he's in the sixth round. I think he's trying to be too cute. You know, he's trying to find gems in these flag football leagues, you know, like this offensive lineman from North Dakota and this guy from whatever he came from 2 years ago. So thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, I hear what you're saying, but he also did draft Derrick Henry.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's – there have been some. He drafted Harold Landry, Kevin Byard. So I mean, there have been some hits for sure. But
AJ Brown.
But as you mentioned earlier, have the whiffs been too much? You know, and he's whiffing on first rounders, or you know, I mean, Caleb Farley could turn out to be something. I don't know at this point, but right now the information I have on him is he didn't make an impact at all this year.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're missing on first, second, third round picks, that's not good. And so it, as you ask the question of, okay, who do you put the blame on? If you have to pick one person to put the blame on for this season, there are a lot of right answers. John Robinson deserves a bunch of it. Mike Vrabel deserves, you know, some of it, especially for yesterday. But he also hired Todd Downing, so you got to give him that. Todd Downing obviously deserves a lot. Mm-hmm. Ryan Tannehill deserves a lot. I mean, that's just – but that's what happens when you lose, too,
yeah.
That there's a lot of blame to go around. If I'm picking one, I'm putting a lot on Robinson. I think that the fact that you had draft picks the last 2 years that just haven't really panned out for you, that's a problem. Because you see championship football teams be built through the draft.
Mm-hmm.
That they're homegrown players, and you know, look at some of the teams that are. Let's look at the Bucks. The Bucks winning last year. What was one of the big things they did for Tom Brady?
Oh, Tristan Wirfs was massive.
Yes,
and that could be the reason they lose today if he can't play.
Right. So it's finding. You know, it's not necessarily looking for the diamonds in the rough. Just hit. Just go get the right player with the draft pick and. it just hasn't happened, at least the last couple of years. Shane in Ashland City on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. To me, it was the terrible play call on third and inches. Downing runs Tannehill draw out of shotgun. Then on fourth and inches, Henry chokes and hesitates. It would have maybe been understandable if Henry run was third instead of fourth, but I still would have thought terrible. Find someone to replace Downing. He's had games like this constantly all year. Completely 100% agree with Shane on that.
Yeah, Downing did not have his finest moment yesterday in yesterday's game. That definitely, like, the decision making was really bad yesterday, and I think that's the biggest thing to blame on. Like, if you want to talk about, I guess, blame for the whole season, I mean, 12-5 is really good. You got the number one seed. You had a really bad day on a day you weren't supposed to have a really bad day, and that's what's so frustrating about this. I feel like if these two teams play 10 times, the Titans probably win that game 8 of 10 times. They're a better team. They had the biggest advantage you could have in football, and that's an advantage at the line of scrimmage, and they wasted it. Like, that, like, that's the biggest thing, too, is that, like, I understand, like, John Robinson missing the picks he has. That's been brutal, and it came back to bite. It's going to bite them in the rear when you finally have to run into the salary cap issues that they will run into as soon as this offseason.
Right.
But, like, think about the players that made the biggest impact yesterday, a lot of them came from the 2019 draft class, like Jeffrey Simmons first round, A.J. Brown second round, Nate Davis third round, Amani Hooker had that interception in the fourth round, David Long sixth round, a guy who was an incredible player this year, and you could probably make the case was the best linebacker on the team. David Long was phenomenal.
Yeah, I agree.
But, to me, the decision-making was the most crucial part of yesterday's game. And in the NFL, that can be what it comes down to. Like, it doesn't matter how good your team was in the regular season. If you get, like, it can come down to four or five decisions that you make and guess wrong on. And that's playoff football.
615-737-1025. We'll continue to take your reaction. The Titans lose 19-16 to the Cincinnati Bengals in the divisional round yesterday. That's all up next. So, in NFL playoffs today, presented by Mercedes-Benz of Music City, Hard Rock Cafe, Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, and Toyo's Clinic, Smile, LASIK, and Hair Restoration on ESPN 102.5 The Game and The Game Nashville app.
He catches the snap. He runs left, squares up his shoulders, and runs it into the end zone for a 3-yard Tennessee touchdown.
Well, that's a smart play right there with the King Henry, because it's 11-on-11 football, and you don't have a quarterback running the football. You have a 250-pound running back running the football.
Ryan Tannehill takes the snap, gives it to Henry. Nice. Hit from behind by Clay Johnston. He did not.
There you go. There's the call of the Henry Wildcat touchdown and the failed two-point attempt that I still am scratching my head about, as is the rest of Nashville. NFL playoffs today rolling along. Chase McCabe, Elijah Campbell, Jared Cassidy hanging out with you, taking your calls, taking your texts on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. NFL playoffs today. All of our playoff coverage presented by Mercedes-Benz of Music City, Hard Rock Cafe, Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, and Toyo's Clinic, Smile LASIK, and Hair Restoration. One thing, Elijah, that I said going into this game that I wanted to see, A.J. Brown. A.J. Brown had to be a factor in a playoff game, because to this point in his career, he hadn't been. And A.J. Brown was targeted 9 times, 5 receptions for a 142 and a touchdown. I would say that's an impact, for sure. I was very impressed and pleased with the game that A.J. Brown had, even though he did have a couple of drops, which we just see him have sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's part of the A.J. Brown experience. But, I mean, when they needed him to make a play, I mean, he made a play. That's when another unfortunate thing about this game is it's going to be forgotten, because it was an incredible throw and even more incredible catch by A.J. Brown in the end zone to corral that thing one-handed. I mean, he showed out yesterday. I mean, the drops, yeah, or can be drive killers, but 5 for a 142 and a touchdown, like, that's what number one wide receivers do in the NFL, is they give you that kind of production. I just love his game in general. He's so good after the catch. He made a couple plays after the catch yesterday, too. He had a bomb earlier in the game as well on one of the, I guess, this is the first touchdown scoring drive that really kickstarted the offense. Like, the offense was kind of stale those first few drives until they're able to break open a play like that, and it opened up the rest of the game. I mean, that's a bright spot, at least, is A.J. Brown's performance. I mean, I still can't get over that catch. Hard to believe that a man falling into the end zone makes that one-handed, but it is a damn shame that it is not going to be – it's going to be one of those forgotten plays of NFL playoff history where someone makes a play and it's kind of negated because of what happens later.
Yeah, I can't get over the fact that you have a receiver with 142 yards and a touchdown. You have, you know, three or two running backs and the quarterback that combine for 140 rushing yards and a touchdown, including Foreman's 45-yarder. You have 9 sacks as a defense, and you lose. It's unreal.
And
you lose because of really four plays. Really made the change. The 3 interceptions and then going for it, mm-hmm. going for 2. That just shows you how close the NFL really is.
Yeah.
That the margin for error is so, so fine and so small that it 4 or 5 plays changed the outcome of this game.
Yeah. I mean, Al Pacino, it's a game of inches. And it's a game of inches, and it's a game of opportunity as well. And really, when the Bengals got the ball in Tennessee territory, as few times as they did, they were able to convert into points. And like you said, I mean, all things considered, 9 sacks, having a receiver go for a 142, being able to move the ball that they were the way they were able to do it, and still not being able to win that game is what makes this one, I would say, more haunting than at least the 2008 Ravens loss. I mean,
oh, no doubt.
There were some variables in that game that were out of your control.
Yeah.
Everything
this one,
was
this
in
one
their
hurts
control.
Worse.
100%.
Sure. 615-737-1025. Also, somebody that deserves credit that we haven't mentioned yet, Brett Kern. He had 3 punts inside the 20 mm-hmm. yesterday. Very tough conditions to punt in when it's that cold. Especially, you know, an older punter, you know, but yeah. Brett continues to be solid for this team, and he put the defense in a good position, you know, for sure, by pinning the Bengals back. But 4 punts on the day, 3 inside the 20 for Brett Kern. Let's go back to the phone, 615-737-1025, our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Billy in Nashville wants to weigh in. Billy, what's going on?
Hey, guys, I appreciate your show. Appreciate you taking my call. I was at the game yesterday, PSL owner, covered up by Bengals fans. I'm on the other side. I'm loud and proud, Charlie, 115, 8-9. And I will just venture to say, and I'm not stealing the show from Blaine Bishop, he said that was a dismal set of play calling out of our offensive coordinator. Now, yes, we did give up the ball 3 times, I understand. But I'm going to tell you, when you got the ball with 3 minutes left and you've got a Dante Foreman, a Henry, or whatever, put them both back there. We should have drove the ball down the Bengals' throat. That is what playoff ball is about. And when that offensive coordinator starts calling these little tricky little plays, when it goes in the air, it's up for grabs, guys, and they got it 3 different times off of us. Very disappointed as a fan. I yelled, if not louder than the 99 season yesterday. Let me tell you, the fans are just devastated, as I know the players are. But we really, really need some help, offensive coordinator, and we need to draft a quarterback, man. You just can't give up the ball like that. We're in the real deal. I mean, the defense. I mean, we should have got 11 sacks credited to us. I mean, I counted them all, but they only gave us 9. I mean, when you have a defense that's playing as good as that. And I think our defense is playing better than our 99 guys. I'm sorry, guys, Mr. Bullock and all the rest of you guys and Joe Salavea and, you know, all the freak. Look, bruh, these guys were on their game, and they've been on their game for quite a bit this season. It's just disheartening and very sad to be a Titans fan right now.
For
all
sure.
I can say is there is next year. I'm not going anywhere. I've lived through the nightmare. And we just pray to God we can get our ducks in a row. I think our coach is a great coach. The play calling was way. I mean, I played ball, and I'm going to tell you what, I could have called a better game than that as a dadgum guy sitting on the sideline than what we had yesterday.
I believe it, Billy. Hey, thanks for the phone call. I mean, listen, and I know there are times that if you go back and you look, Elijah, at times that I've criticized Todd Downing or others have criticized Todd Downing, that maybe he didn't deserve it as much as he was getting it at the time, but he deserves every bit of it yesterday.
Yeah.
And to me, there are just more bad things that I've seen over the course of the season that just, I think you got to move on. It's not working with Tannehill, because as we've talked about through this show, you're stuck with Tannehill. The odds of you moving on from Tannehill are not very good.
Slim to none.
And so I don't care what gets thrown out there or what people think. You know, do I think that they've gone as far as they can with Tannehill at quarterback? You know, probably so. I always said that I thought he could win a Super Bowl if he had the right pieces around him. Well, I think he had the right pieces around him. Mm-hmm. He had A.J. Brown. He had Derrick Henry, albeit not the same Derrick Henry, but he had Derrick Henry on the field. Julio Jones had, you know, a decent day. He was obviously a factor. Made some key catches, as Willie would say. The play calling just was not very good either. So,
yeah,
just a lot of blame to go around. 615-737-1025 up next. We'll take more of your calls and texts as we put a bow on things. The Titans fall 19-16 to the Cincinnati Bengals, and their season is over. Elijah and I will give you some thoughts on what needs to happen in the offseason as you listen to NFL Playoffs Today, presented by Mercedes-Benz of Music City, Hard Rock Cafe, Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, and Toyo's Clinic, Smile LASIK, and Hair Restoration on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Thank you, Max. Welcome back in NFL Playoffs Today, presented by Mercedes-Benz of Music City, Hard Rock Cafe, Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, and Toyo's Clinic, Smile LASIK, and Hair Restoration. Chase McCabe, Elijah Campbell here with you on a Sunday morning, taking your calls and your reaction to the Titans' loss at 615-737-1025, our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. All right, Elijah, what is the big thing that John Robinson and Mike Vrabel need to address this offseason?
Oh, man. I guess
the first big thing, I should say.
The first big thing is managing the salary cap on the defensive side of the ball. That was your strength of the team this year. You want to maintain that as much as possible. There's a lot of potential with what you have with the offense already because you saw it last year. You can bring back a lot of the same personnel. I think the first big thing is maintaining as much of this defense as humanly possible, because the salary cap is obviously the biggest obstacle here. Harold Landry's contract's going to expire. He had one of the most valuable contracts in all of the NFL with a guy who got you that many sacks on $1.5 million a year. According to SpotRack, his estimated market value is going to be about $17 million a year. I think it's safe to say that you're not going to be able to keep Harold Landry as much as you want to be able to keep him. So being able to maintain the pass rush you had this year and the way your defense played, maintaining that as much as humanly possible should be the most important thing. And then on the offensive side of the ball, I think you got to be able to have a chain-moving tight end. Loved Firkser last year. The catch he made against the Patriots in the playoff run a couple years ago was one of the most important catches this franchise has had in terms of advancing them in the playoffs. But it didn't get done this year. I mean, he wasn't reliable on third down to be able to move the chains. You got to be able to have someone like a CJ Uzomah who's able to just move the chains on third down whenever defenses are keying in on your run game and your two perimeter threats.
another thing to keep in mind with Landry, for anyone that wants to say, well, you could just tag him. Projected franchise tag values this year, according to SpotRack, for a linebacker would be about $18.5 million. So you have to keep that in mind.
Yeah, it's still going to be a lot. Like, there is no shortcutting your way out of that.
Could you play a game, even though it's not much of a difference, but could you play the game with him that, well, even though he's technically a linebacker, you know, he plays on the outside, so could they try and finagle what his position is to try and pay him less? I don't know. I don't think it really matters. But
I don't think it's going to make that big of a difference.
No, but probably a million or two, but that's about it. I agree. You got to figure out how to keep this defense intact. Now, offensively, please, for the love of God, go find a tight end.
A reliable one. Yeah.
I mean, like, just they need a tight end. I don't know if that's in the draft, which you could have done and should have done last year, and you didn't, or if you signed somebody, but they need a tight end. They need to address the receiving core. If they think Des Fitzpatrick isn't going to work out, then move on. You know, Westbrook Akina is a nice story, but is he truly a top three receiver in this league? I don't think so. I would like to see them find a true slot receiver. You know, if they're going to hang on to Julio Jones, then okay. I'm not convinced that they are, but we'll see. You know, there's obviously the money that has to work out with that. Offensive line is going to be a huge question this year because you can walk away from Taylor Lewan pretty easy. You know, the dead cap number is not a lot. Saffold, I think it's not a lot either to walk away from him. But, you know, offensive linemen don't grow on trees, so are you going to, you know, cut those guys and then just, you know, have nobody? I mean, like, what are you going to do to replace him? So, I mean, that's certainly another part of it. But the defense is what worries me just because it got better. And, you know, now, you know, one of your best players you're probably not going to be able to afford. And then what does the rest of it look like? Now, you can move on from You can move on from Evans and you know, save some money there and just decide, hey, you're going to pay Landry. But I don't think they're going to do that. Jayon Brown, you're paying $5 million, so you let Evans and Jayon Brown go and convert that, you know, see if Cunningham, you can rework his deal a little bit to keep him, and then you just move on, try and move some of that savings to Harold Landry, but I don't know if it's that simple.
It's not, yeah, unfortunately. And you don't want to tinker the offensive line, too. Like, this offensive line is really good. Ben Jones will be a free agent. Ben Jones was fantastic on the line this year. This offensive line, when you lost your best player in Derrick Henry, helped keep things afloat by being able to move the line of scrimmage and make life for guys like Dontrell Hilliard, Deontay Foreman, Jerry McNichols a whole lot easier. I mean, there's a reason that this Titans team was still in one seat after losing Henry, and they were still able to be a run-first team. They didn't have to abandon that because the offensive line is really good. And you don't have a ton of depth because, like you mentioned, Dylan Raidens, one of your draft picks, healthy scratch going into last night's game. Kendall Lamb had a very rough year. Your offseason acquisition at the offensive line had a very, very difficult year whenever he was thrusted into action. And, like, that's that, too. I mean, I kind of glossed over that, I guess, when you know, talking about the tight end, but the offensive line maintaining is almost as every bit of important as your defense maintaining too, because defense in the NFL can shift year in, year out. You know, you have those three or four teams every year that are dominant defenses, and then they're not as lucky in the turnover department, and they become the number three defense to the number 11 or 12 defense. Like, sometimes just turnovers can make that leap. But this defense can be one of those that is good year in, year out if you just are able to maintain it. And the reason it's so hard is because of the salary cap.
Right. Let's go back to the phone, 615-737-1025. Adam in Hendersonville wants to weigh in. Adam, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to, first of all, throw some recognition out to our defensive line yesterday, man. Like, our defensive front has been apex all season long, mm-hmm. and has really kept us alive. And I also want to kind of stand up for Ryan Tannehill a little bit. You know, we've lost so many people to injuries the entire season, and yet somehow, some way, he's been there every game and kept us alive. So, everybody's throwing a lot of shade on him. You can't really say that three interceptions are terrible. We can all agree with that. But we also had so many opportunities to keep the game in our possession, and it just we couldn't capitalize. So
yeah.
I don't know. Do you really think Tannehill's to blame for the entire game being thrown? I mean everybody all over social media is all over him. So
I mean, I'm not putting it all on him. I mean, I've thanks for the call, Adam. But we've, you know, addressed the play calling from Todd Downing going for two when you didn't need to by Vrabel. But, I mean, he certainly has to have a lot of the blame because he threw three interceptions. I mean, you can't turn the ball over three times and expect to win a game. That just doesn't happen. I don't care what your defense did. So he threw the ball. There were bad picks. That first one, you know, turned out to just be the tone setter. Even though they, you know, they made stops, held them to a field goal, and all of that, you just can't turn the ball over three times.
That's the killer. I mean, and that's the difference between a team that has Jimmy Garoppolo moving on and a team with Ryan Tannehill going home. I think those two guys are insanely similar. And the fact that here's the difference between play callers, too. Kyle Shanahan didn't make Jimmy Garoppolo throw the ball over 20 times. Cold weather game, started to snow. He knew that throwing the ball outside the numbers is not going to be what's beneficial to his team. The Niners ran less plays than the Titans did on offense yesterday. Garoppolo threw six less passes, and the 49ers had about three more rushing attempts than the Titans did on the season. That is a big factor in terms of play calling to what your personnel is. The 49ers, similar backfield situation to the Titans. They have a running back, Elijah Mitchell, who has been great all year. And they throw Deebo Samuel into the mix later in the year in terms of taking, you know, handoffs out of the backfield just to get him the ball. They were able to maintain both an adequate workload yesterday. The Titans had an opportunity that when they saw that Foreman was in top shape, is in midseason form, and Henry might not be even 75% healthy. And Henry got 20 carries, Deontay Foreman got four. Tannehill threw the ball more than Garoppolo did, and that was the difference between three interceptions to one. Did Garoppolo make a horrendous mistake in the game that could have cost him in the end? Sure, that was an awful interception. But they didn't put the onus on him to have to win the game because they had skill players that were doing it for them, and he just got them the ball. And to me, that's the biggest difference in the quarterback play and the play calling, and one team's going home, one team's playing next Sunday.
Jeff says on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, this game is the perfect example of why the Titans are not respected by the national media. They can never accept good fortune and drop the ball, as it were, every time. I don't see anything false about that statement.
Nope.
I mean, for everybody that wants to say, why won't the national media talk about the Titans? Well, it's because every time they're on the big stage, they choke.
Yep, or every time they get home field advantage, they do nothing with it.
And Tannehill, it's the same thing. So that's just the way it is, unfortunately. Elijah, great stuff. I feel better. Yeah, you know, I can go about my day and watch, watch these games and stuff. But I feel a little bit better. But we'll do it all again tomorrow, starting at 6 o'clock with Robbie and Rex Road. They'll have full reaction. Darren Donick and Chase from 10 to 2, and then of course Stillman and Company with Jared and Caroline from 2 to 6, as we will put a bow on yesterday's game. You'll hear a lot of opinions. D-Mace will be in the fold with the guys during the midday as well to give his opinion. But up next, ESPN Radio here on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.